Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Digging into the bag of tricks here at halftime as we are joined with Monmouth trailing Bryan 14-3. Greg Ott, who is one of the assistant sports information directors here on campus and the one who is in charge of men's soccer for the fall. We'll talk some activities going on around campus. We mentioned such a great start to the homecoming weekend yesterday. Field hockey getting a win over Bryant. They're starting the surge. Your sport, men's soccer, with a 2-1 win over Robert Morris last night. And the Hawks, Greg, thanks for giving us a couple minutes, number one. After a bit of a stretch where I think people started to say, boy, is Monmouth even going to make the tournament again this year? There were those doubters when Monmouth started it a bit slow in conference play, but right now they are starting to really pick up their play.
Yeah, I mean, they had a tough stretch. I mean, there was a stretch of two straight losses, which you have to go back to 2005 to find the last time that the Hawks have lost two games in a row. But they've really picked it up. They're 4-0-1 in the last five games. They started that off with a tie against Fairleigh Dickinson that's leading the conference right now, then four straight wins. So they're right in the mix to host the NEC tournament and try to win their eighth straight NEC title, which I don't believe any other Northeast Conference program in any sport has ever done.
As you mentioned, the way that things are shaking out right now, FDU is still atop the leaderboard with a mark of 4-0-2, one of those ties coming in a 0-0 effort against Monmouth. They have 14 points, Monmouth at 13 points, Central Connecticut State 13 points, but really Central doesn't factor into the equation in a way in terms of a team that could qualify. They, I think, would still factor in the tiebreakers or if things got down a little bit far. Quinnipiac right now, 10 points. St. Francis, Pennsylvania, 10 points. Sacred Heart, St. Francis, New York at 9. Those are really the contenders right now for playoff spots. And why St. Francis, Pennsylvania is important is that Monmouth is the next opponent on the schedule, a game that will take place tomorrow on the Great Lawn, a game that has huge implications really for both teams, but especially for Monmouth. If they can secure that win and continue their good play, not quite yet, but getting close to locking up at least a berth in the NEC tournament.
They're getting close, especially, as you said, if you keep St. Francis where they are, and you get three more points, that makes, I think, 7 points of separation between the other two teams with, you know, only, I believe it'd be three more games to go after that. So, I mean, if they continue to get points, they'll be able to lock up a spot sooner rather than later.
It looks as if it's becoming at least more likely that the NEC tournament will be in New Jersey. I think we could maybe say that, not as a definite yet, but with FDU leading the league and Monmouth 1 point back with still four games left on the conference slate. It's still up for grabs, certainly, but Monmouth and FDU, I think in the last week or so, have maybe separated themselves a little bit with quality of play in the NEC.
Yeah, I mean, both those teams are definitely the hot teams. FDU haven't not lost a game, and then, you know, the Hawks, obviously, in their last five games haven't lost. So I think it is increasingly looking like the tournament will go back to New Jersey.
Now, one of the things that I think has been so interesting is Monmouth the last few years during this run, seven straight, at least partial NEC championships. They hosted the conference tournament for so many years before last year winning it in Fairfield. The Sacred Heart was the host school. They've always been known as kind of a defensive team, where this year with the recruits that have come in and some of the name players and the different makeup of this year's team, I think everyone was expecting 3 or 4 goals per game, which is a bit unrealistic in soccer because nobody scores 3 or 4 goals per game. Even when you have guys who can put the ball in the back of the net, it's so hard to score. But with this team being maybe more reliant offensively, the defense, when they give up a goal, you know, it's almost like, whoa, we gave up a goal. It's a different kind of bunch this year than it has been in years past.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year was my first year, and I saw a lot of 1-0 contests. You know, it was always when Monmouth scored that you could rely on them just shutting down the other team, and that was it. This year, you're seeing the last four games in this four-game winning streak, they've scored 2 goals or more in each of those games. So really, it is a lot more of, you know, an offensive-minded team. And you see that mentality in that they dropped Ryan Clark back to the defensive line, you know, for these last few games. So kind of putting your best player on the back line, trying to shore up the defense a little bit more. But there is that firepower with so many new faces this year between Eddie Derrick, Francois Paco Navarro, Jacob Rubenstein's back on the team. Joseph Schmidt has really picked up the pace offensively. So a lot of these guys have really picked up their offensive game, and I think the Hawks are still trying to work out some of the kinks in the defense.
Greg Ott, giving us a few minutes here. We are at the half on homecoming Saturday, 14-3. Bryant with the advantage on Monmouth. Greg, part of the sports information department here, and I'd be remiss, obviously, as we're talking about some of the other fall sports. I know they're not your sports, yep, per se, but it's hard to ignore what the women's soccer team has done also as of late. They right now sit also in second position in the NEC, 2 points back of St. Francis, Pennsylvania. And those two teams will also play tomorrow as part of the doubleheader on the Great Lawn. Also a huge game in terms of the overall structure of the conference. The way that the women have played, they're 9-5-2 overall, 6-1-1 in the NEC right now. They've also seemed to hit their stride a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you know, they had a couple hiccups early in the non-conference season, but once the conference season started, which obviously is the most important, they've really not missed a beat. And, you know, as you said, that's a huge game coming up tomorrow against St. Francis, PA. They've gone 7-0-0 in the conference season so far, and they've really got a dynamic player in Tessa McKibben. Every week you seem to look at the Northeast Conference website, and she's the player of the week. So, every time you look at a box score, she's the one scoring for St. Francis, PA. So if the Hawks can mark her up and hopefully take her away, then maybe they have a chance to take the driver's seat in the NEC standings.
The one thing that we should mention as well in terms of the difference between the men's season and the women's season is the women's tournament starts a week earlier than the men's, so there are a couple of games ahead in terms of the overall structure of the NEC. I know you mentioned this is your second year here at Monmouth, but you've been in the NEC for quite a number of years at Quinnipiac before you came here to MU. And as a soccer kind of guy, how important is it for, whether it be Monmouth on the women or the men's side or another team, to host the conference tournament as opposed to having to go on the road?
Yeah, I mean, in any sport it's important, but soccer particularly, because a lot of these different fields are different sizes, especially the width of the fields. So if you go to, you know, St. Francis, PA, I'm not sure the exact dimensions of it, but it is, you know, it's a narrower field. Whereas if, you know, it's played on the Great Lawn, it's the full width, and that helps a lot of these teams with the way they play. I know that the Monmouth men's team likes to spread it out. They like to, you know, make the defenses extend a little bit more, and then that helps their offensive game. Whereas if you're playing on a narrower field, you can't do that, and it changes the way you have to play. So it definitely is a very important element to the NEC tournament.
We'd be remiss, and we talked about it, as Monmouth started off the homecoming weekend with a field hockey win last week. Field hockey in kind of a dogfight right now. A three-way tie for second place. St. Francis, Pennsylvania at 4-0, leading the NEC. Quinnipiac, Ryder, and Monmouth all at 3-1. The long and short of it is the conference schedules and the fall season is actually, believe it or not, starting to come to a slow close. And as we get closer to postseason play in any sport, it's usually the best time of the year when the fall kind of winds down and the winter's heating up. But I know those fall sports and the playoffs that take place, it's usually a ton of fun for everyone to watch.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, having hosted a NCAA match for men's soccer last year, I mean, the atmosphere was just unbelievable. You get the NEC tournaments in each sport, and I mean, obviously there's so much at stake. You know, there's so much excitement going on.
Part of the SID office here and the athletic communications staff, along with Chris Tobin, Greg Viscomi, among others, it's always such a busy time for you guys. And I know, final question before we let you go, you're always trying to raise the bar in the office, and the social media platforms continuing to be such a big part. Tell everyone where they can get kind of the most up-to-date and up-to-speed information for Monmouth if they need to.
Yeah, I mean, all of our social media efforts are available at gomuhawks.com/connect. You can get all of our Facebook and Twitter accounts for all the different teams, get updates in-game, in between weeks. All the different teams have their ways of getting hold of everybody. So, again, gomuhawks.com/connect, and that'll get you all the Facebook and Twitter feeds.
Greg, appreciate it. Thanks for coming by and giving us a couple minutes. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Thanks, Matt.
Big one coming up tomorrow on the Great Lawn. Greg Ott from the Monmouth Sports Information Office giving us a few minutes. He's in charge of men's soccer here in West Long Branch. The Hawks and the Red Flash of St. Francis, Pennsylvania, playing a male-female doubleheader tomorrow on the Great Lawn. Again, for more information, on all Mama Sports. Go to GoMUHawks.com. Bryant in charge of this one so far. They lead Monmouth 14-3 on the gridiron. We'll take a quick timeout, and we'll come back with scores from around the Northeast Conference, a look at the standing board in the NEC, and also get you set from scores going on at the top 25 right now across the country. Bryant 14, Monmouth 3. We're back in 2 minutes with more of the halftime show on the Shore Sports Network. And we welcome you back here from West Long Branch, New Jersey, at Kessler Field, where Bryant is leading Monmouth by a score of 14-3. Let's go around the Northeast Conference and give you scores presented by Coca-Cola Zero. Central Connecticut State leading Robert Morris 28-23. All of these games are up now and running in the fourth quarter. Wagner 31, St. Francis PA 24, and Duquesne all over Sacred Heart by a score of 28-3. Coming into league play today, Albany atop everyone's standings. They are at 4-0. Wagner 3-1. Duquesne and Monmouth 2-1. St. Francis, Pennsylvania 2-2. Sacred Heart and Central Connecticut State at 1-2. Bryant 1-4. And Robert Morris at 0-3. Albany on the bye this week. Bryant right now leading Monmouth by a score of 14-3. We will step out and take a 60-second timeout. We'll come back with scores from the top 25, stats as well, all coming up after this quick break. You're listening to Monmouth Football on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
Bryant leading Monmouth by a score of 14-3 at his halftime here in West Long Branch from Kessler Field. Matt Harmon, Eddie Acapinti, great job as always out of Lauren Bajica in the studios of 1160, 1310, WOBM AM. Time to take a look at our top 25 scoreboard presented by Coca-Cola Zero. Clemson, the number 14 team in the country, leading Virginia Tech by a score of 17-10. Purdue 20, number 7 Ohio State 14, number 19 Rutgers on top of Temple by a score of 14-10. Number 6 LSU leading number 20 Texas A&M 14-12. Next batch of games to start in the top 25, all that 3:30 time slot. Number 22 Stanford on the road to Cal. Number 3 Florida hosting number 9 South Carolina. Number 16 Louisville still 6-0 on the season. They'll entertain South Florida. Michigan State on the road at number 23 Michigan. It's Boise State entertaining UNLV. Texas Tech, the number 18 team in the country, will visit TCU. And number 5 Notre Dame, also undefeated at 6-0. They will welcome in Brigham Young. Monmouth has made their way back onto the field. We will step out and take a 60-second pause when we come back. Eddie will run through some halftime stats, and we'll get you set for the start of half number 2. 60-second pause, last time around third quarter, up right after this. You're listening to Monmouth Football. Bryant leads the Hawks 14-3 on the Shore Sports Network.